Perucha beis, pascha beis. Averes a shavur a chodutz a yabelus a gorav a yalefes lo sakivu idul Hashem yishaloi sidim mehem al mizbeach la Hashem. So we learned this yesterday. We learned over here. There are six different blemishes. These the averes, this is the shavur, the chodutz, the yabelus, the gorav, yalefes. Six things. And we learned yesterday Rashi the basic translation. It also says lo sakivu. It says three times the expression of lo sakrivu, lo sitnu. Okay, then the goes on, it says lo. I guess he refers to later on. It says later on. Pasuk of Dal, it says it again. Lo sakrivu. It says that expression three times. Three times somewhere in this page it says lo sakrivu. So Rashi taught us a very big chiddush. It means one for the sanctification, one for the shechita, and one for the zrika. Purse takes an amulet as a blemish and does any of these three things. So there's a grantal of three different prohibitions in three prohibitions. Okay, now let's see over here. Now let's maybe just review the Rashi's very quickly, because a lot going on in this passage. Let's review it quickly. Averes shem davar shel mum. Ivaroin b'loshen nekeva. It's ivaroin b'loshen nekeva. The word averes has a sof at the end. And generally, when there's a suf at the end, it's the feminine. Now, what is averes? So Rashi seems to indicate that averes is an unusual word. It is a word that we're not really familiar with. We are familiar with the word ivaroin. We never heard the word iveres. So Rashi says it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Ivaroin is the masculine form, and iveres is the feminine form. And then Rashi says, it is a shame davar shel mum. A shame davar shel mum. I told you yes. I don't know what that means. What do you mean a shame davar? I don't know what that means. Ivaroin b'loshen nekeva. It is blindness in the feminine form. Shelo yehi bo mum shel iveres. It should not have a blemish of iveres. Fine. Oy shavur lo yeh. Okay, a broken limb. Chorutz. Chorutz means ris shel ayin shen nistak. So I'm assuming with ris or shen nifka. I think it means that the ris means the pupil. The pupil of the eye has been damaged. Okay, we can't sifa soy shenistika. I give you an example of the lip. The lip is cracked, the lip is nifgam. Yabeles, okay, what is it? These are warts. I have no idea the difference. Yabeles, gorov min chazozis. Chazozis is also a type of wart. Skeb, v'chein yalefes. V'loshen yalefes, come over by yalefes. Shimshon was enveloped. In that pasuk, it's used in a good sense. He was enveloped with the spirit of Hashem, but it means some type of envelopment. Okay, enveloped him. Okay, so this means over here is she'ain lo refuah. Okay, in this context, it means there's no refuah. We discussed yesterday. It's a very scary thing. How can Rashi say there's no refuah? Everything in this world l'chora has a refuah. We just do not know what the healing is. Is it mamish shayach to say that Hashem created a disease in this world which there is no healing? Is it possible to say such a thing? I don't know. That's a very big topic of Rashi Hashem Lerfu. Loi sakrivu shalosh pamim, three times lahazra lakadosh hekdosh osan v'al shechit osan v'al zrikas tama. Alright, v'shel loi sednu asara saktar osan. A fire offering do not give, and there's an ashara for the haktarasan, do not offer it also. There's really the four. There are four things. There's hektish, and then there is the shkita, and then there's a zrika, and then the isha fire offering, lo sidnu asharas haktarasan, don't go put it on the fire. Okay, so that's Rashi, it's the pasuk. Okay, so this alone was kedai. Six different blemishes in the pasuk, six different items. Now let's see what it says over here. Let's see what it says over here in the Targum. Targum over here says, Avir, oi tevir, oi pisik, oi yavlon, oi garbon, oi chazozon, lo ti korvun ilain kodam Hashem, ve korbono lo sitnun minhoin al mad b'chol kodam Hashem. Okay, it's pretty straightforward. Now let me over here read to you what it says on the bottom of the page. You don't have this. This is in the sefer that we use. And let's try to see if we can gain any insight. Okay, I'm going to read you what it says. Evir, shem toil balchai halakui b'ivaroin. Okay, it just means blindness. Ve'en lo'ma sha'averes hi toya la'ayin. Perush Ibn Ezra Shehi Targum Lashon Zohar Vila Ayin Hu Lashon Nekeva. Alright, I don't know what that means. V'chein kol ha-mumim v'chein v'shem was toya l'ha bal cha'a. V'chein kol ha-mumim, oh, he's saying over here something very interesting. Shem toya l'bal cha'ay ha-lo kuy b'ivaron. Oh, wow, okay. V'chein kol ha-mumim v'chein v'shem was toya l'bal cha'ay v'einam shemois etzen. V'chein das radak u'diloy kirashi ka'ad. Ooh, okay. V'tzarchin l'das unkelis. Shem he shem toya Okay, so he's saying, oh, now we get understand Rashi. Now we understand Rashi. Unbelievable what it says over here. See, you can learn forever. You never know what's going on unless you learn with the blazer. You know, the blazer Bachi, they have the Siyata Shmai to learn something. They know, and never go a whole life, never know this, and I'll probably forget it in 5 minutes anyway. But you see, when it says here the word Iveres, Averis, what is Averis? Is that the name of a disease? Or is that the name of a person who has the disease? See what the difference is? You can say there's a disease. You go into the science book. Out of a science book, there's a certain leprosy. Let's try that. Leprosy. What is leprosy? Leprosy is the name of a disease. Then there's a leper. A leper. What's a leper? A person who has leprosy. Okay, it is a
firstly, Rabbi.
Yeah.
One is blind. One is on the person.
Like a leper. Exactly. Yeah. One that is, so therefore this, that's what it says in the art scroll?
Yeah. One that is blind.
One that is blind. So that's an amazing translation because it means that they're not following Rashi. They claim, as we always say, and they like to claim. I don't necessarily know which translation. They pride themselves in saying that our translation follows Rashi, according to the way he explains over here. That's exactly when I read the Rashi yesterday and today. It says Shem Dover Shel Mum, Ivaroin Belosh Mekevim Shlo Yiboy Mum Shel Iveres. It's not one. Rashi exactly says Shem Dover. It is the name of the disease. It's not the name of a person who has the disease. For example, leprosy. Leprosy is the name of a disease. A leper, if I'm not mistaken, is a person who has leprosy. So according to Rashi learns there are six items listed in this specific pasuk. These six items are all names of diseases. We are not describing the person. We are describing the disease. And it happens to be that this particular animal suffers from this disease. According to Unkelis, and according to many other, and he writes of the whole long list of Rishonim, these words are words that describe a creature that suffers from the disease. That's a very big difference. That's why Rashi commented. We always say, our thesis here is, Rashi generally only comments when the Targum irritated him. The Targum says something that Rashi did not like, bothered Rashi, or Rashi, there's something about the Targum which triggered Rashi to comment. Otherwise, Rashi would be silent. What triggered Rashi? Because the Targum, the way he's translating, these are names of creatures. A creature that is blind is called an Iveres. Is an Iveris. And that's the name of a creature. Like you say about a person who's deaf. So you don't say that his ears don't work. It's a description. A person who, Rahman al-Islam, does not hear, he's called deaf. A person who doesn't see, he's called blind. We don't say blindness. Blindness is the name of the disease. He is blind. That means he is a suma. In Hebrew, it's much better. In Hebrew, there's a word called suma. What is a suma? A person. A person who can't see. A person who cannot hear is called a cheresh. Now, how do you describe blindness? Iveres. Ivaroin. Ivaroin is blindness. But a suma is a person who suffers from Ivaroin.
and a rabbi.
Yeah.
Because it fits in, because there is no disease broken.
Oh, so see, that's the question. Do we really know?
And there is no disease split eyelid.
Oh, so
it
so
just happens to be somebody has it.
Oh, so you, that's see, so you have to be very careful. So therefore, wait, so that's, you see, that's all subject to debate, because we already are brainwashed ourselves that we know what these things are. We know what they are, and therefore, oh, that's what it means. But obviously, if you're going to look like the other Rishonim, they're not going to say that. If you're going to start with the assumption that these are like a sumo, we're describing animals that have a certain type of disease, we're going to have to re-examine the translation of these words. Rashi is like what we're used to. Because what does Rashi say? Rashi says Iveres. So Rashi, now I understand Rashi. Rashi's first word says, Shem Dovar Shel Mum. This is a description of a blemish. Not the animal. It's describing the disease. Shem Dovar Shel Mum. This is a disease. Now Rashi right away says, what? Never heard this before. Never heard this disease before. There's a disease called Iver. Or Ivoroin, blindness, Iveres. See, according to the Targum, it's very, very good. According to the Targum, the word Iveres, because again, the name of blindness is called Ivoroin, it's masculine. So where did this new word come from, Iveres? Never heard such a word. No, that means the animal is blind. Rashi says, no, you're making a mistake. We're not describing the animal. We're describing the shame dover. Oh, you're going to ask a question on me. We never heard of this word before. The word is Ivaroin. No, it's not Akasha. There's another word. You don't know everything. You can describe the disease in the masculine form, and you can describe the disease in the feminine form. In the masculine form, it's called Ivaroin. In the feminine form, it's called Iveris. But it's the disease. It's not the person. It's not the animal. So that's the first thing. Because that's right away. So he's coming. Therefore, he's coming to explain over here. That's the pshat in Rashi. When Rashi says Shem Dover Shel Mum, this is Rashi's rejection of the Targum. The Targum Rashi over here is coming to say the Targum, you got it wrong again, again and again. Everything that Rashi is writing, it's like Rashi is like the Ravid on the Rambam. Like the Rambam. Rambam is the Rambam. And along came the bottom of the Rambam, the Sefer Rambam, there's the Ravid. And the Ravid, what does the Ravid do? He basically says that everything the Rambam says, everything is wrong. And not only is it wrong, Ein loy moyach bekod kodoy. He has the greatest insults you've ever seen are found in the Ravid. What he says about the Rambam, it's mind-boggling, mamish mind-boggling. So the truth is, Rashi and Unkelus is the same. Whatever the Unkelus says, if you dig deep enough, you're going to see that the Rashi is coming to disagree with everything that the Unkelus says. And the only time that he agrees is when he's quiet. If he has nothing to say, I agree with you. But if Rashi opens up, says something, and here's a case in point. The Unkelus says, what does Unkelus say? And his word over here was avir. Avir means an animal that is blind. That's what it means in Aramaic. And over here, the sefer called Ma'atzori, what he does very, very well, this is now finally picking up his mahalach, his technique, he studies all of the other commentators on the page, on the Mekoros Gedolos. The Ibn Ezra, he looks at the Targum Yonas Ben Uziel, he looks at the Radak, he looks at the Ramban, he looks at the Rashbam, he goes through all of the Rishonim, and he understands what they learned Pshat, and then he very carefully looks at Unkelus and Rashi, and then he's very able to see, look at that. Unkelus is not saying like Rashi. Unkelus is saying like the Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, Targum Yonas Ben Uziel, and now we can appreciate why Rashi commented. Okay, there's a whole system going on over here to decipher what's going on between Rashi and Unkelus. This is very beautiful. So they have the word avir means an animal that is blind. Okay, but then he does make a comment at the end, and he says, yeah, if the Unkelus is correct, he says it should not say averes, but the pasuk should say iveres. After everything is said and done, he comes to challenge the sefer, the person who wrote the sefer, who only died a few years ago. He says, after my entire analysis, if I'm really right, then the pasuk of Beis should not say with a patach, averes. It would be more grammatically correct, and this is beyond me because I don't know any grammar. It should say iveres. That would fit more with the understanding that we're dealing with a creature, an animal that is blind. But it doesn't say iveres. It says averes. All right, let's leave that out. Let's not dwell on that. Now we come to the next case, psik. The next word was ol tevir. Now what is it? A shavur. Shavur means broken. So what is that? What is that tevir? So according to Rashi, it means it's a broken limb. A broken limb. And what does he say over here? He says nothing. Will you believe it? There's no comment over here. Does he say tevir? No, unbelievable. There's no comment here. What could I tell you? So tevir, I guess you have to say that it means that there's an animal, I'm assuming this, that has a broken limb, is called a tevir. In any animal, even though it's, you know, you don't focus on the broken limb, you say, in any animal that has broken limbs is called a tevir. It's the name of an animal. According to Rashi, Rashi says, what did Rashi say? Rashi in truth didn't comment. No, he says, oh shavur lo yiyah. Ah, you see, Rashi's very good. Rashi says, oh shavur lo yiyah. There should not be a blemish in the animal. The word shavur is a description of a defect, and we're saying, make sure that you don't have this defect in the animal. According to the Targum, no, we're not describing. What is Rashi with lo yiyah? What does that mean, lo yiyah? Rashi should just say nothing. The fact that Rashi says lo yiyah indicates Rashi holds a shavur is a broken bone. In general, there's a science book. Go on Amazon. You can buy a book about broken bones in animals. And this animal should not have a broken bone, lo yiyah. But if you don't like the Targum, that's not what it means. It means you should not bring an animal that's called, it's called a shavur. What is a shavur? An animal that has, there's no lo yiyah, it's the name of the animal. Okay, so that explains why Rashi is lo yiyah. Then when it says the word chorutz, what's made the word chorutz? What does it mean, chorutz? So the Targum, what does the Targum say for the word chorutz? Back to the pasuk. A psik. What's a psik? What does that mean? So we learned, Rashi told us it meant, go back to Rashi, a chorutz meant the eye, a defect in the eye. The pupil of the eye is cracked. The white...
The eyelid.
This is the eyelid. That's interesting because Rashi, go back to Rashi, Rashi says, chorutz ris shel ayin shenisdak.
Rit eyelid.
A ripped eyelid?
Split eyelid.
Okay, but then go further. You're right. Where do we say the eye that was penetrated? Chorutz rishal ayin shenistak oishen nifgam. So where do we learn about the eye that was penetrated? That was the previous pasuk? We learned yesterday.
Penetrated
was the blind. That was yesterday. Iveris?
You don't need two descriptions for the eyes. I would assume
right.
We dealt with the eye.
Well, where did we learn that something penetrates the eye?
If the eye is completely destroyed, would be blind.
And
this is only
the eyelid.
Returns to the eyelid.
Okay, fine.
We don't need two things for the eye.
Okay, you don't need two for the eye. Okay. So here it says chorutz rish shel ayin shenistak oishen nifgam v'chein tzifamay shenistak oishen nifgamo, or the lip. Now what does the Targum say? Psik. Now in this sefer it says, what does it say? Psik. He writes over here chotuch saduk chorutz v'loshen akotz v'loshen kiriso psika v'chein mishrotecha ato chorutz sa tzedekot ato pasakta chotachta gazayrta mikana v'loshen psak halacha. The psak halacha. Okay, so it means over here means a split. The eyelid is split. or the lip is split. All right, split. But again, Rashi learns that it is the name of a Rashi learns the Rashi. Rashi says one more time, Rishal Ayin Shenistak or Shenifkam Lachin Sefasai Shenistika Inifko. It's the name of a defect. According to the Targum, it means an animal that has this type of blemish. O Yavlon. What is the Yavlon? So Rashi said what Yavlon, a Yavlon. He didn't translate. Rashi did not translate the word. Yabelis. Oh, Yabelis. Yabelis, Rashi said, an old French word. I told you, I don't know what it means. It means a scab. The Targum says a Yavlon. On the bottom of the page in the Sefer, what does he say? Yavlon, Mashma Shemefarish, Balchai, Hasoivel, Niyabelis. I don't know what this means over here. V'chein, Rashi Be'ervin, Ayimashu L'El. Okay, doesn't explain. So far, it's all the same. Okay, it means some type of wart, some type of a skin disease, some type of whatever, a wart. O Gorov. So what a Rashi Gorov is? Rashi Gorov min chazozis. Also, again, these are all names of different types of scabs, warts. Maybe a dermatologist can explain the difference to us and exactly how they come, why they come, how to get rid of them. These are all different types of complicated things which make me nauseous. Okay. Yabelis Gorov or Yalefes. Let's see the Targum. The Targum over here says, the Targum says, O Yavlon, O Garbon, O Chazozon. Let's see what it's over here in the safe over here. Okay, so he doesn't really tell us Yavlon. A Garbon, Balchai Hasoivel Min Gorov. Fine. Chazozon, Balchai Hasoivel Min Echad Min Minei Hashchen Boils. So he says over here that a Yalefes is a boil. That's what he says. An animal that suffers from boils. All right, fine. All these do not bring to Hashem, and that's the end of the Pasuk. That's all he says. Next Pasuk. Pasuk. Chaf Gimel. V'sharv oseh. Sarua v'kolut. Nidavata aseh oisoy. Ulenede lo yerotseh. Here is a very interesting pasuk. This pasuk, let's see Rashi. Sarua v'kolut is an animal. There's a shor or v'seh. Okay, an axe. A shor is the category of bokar. Right? Bokar. Bokar is an egel or a parupara. Okay, an eagle parapara. Oh, we have all these people over here online. I didn't even notice because I'm on a different device. I don't always get to see what's going on over here. We have Mayors here and we have Mr. and Ms. Glatter is here. Welcome to the Shia. Now, here is a pasuk, which I'm telling you, it's very funny to say this, but I think 99% of people don't know what it says in this pasuk. Even though it's a very simple translation. It's interesting. Go ask the average person if they know this halacha. That is a type of blemish that's only not good. The Sharva said if it's suru the kalut, it's not good as a nedava. No, I made a mistake. Nedava. No, yeah, I was right. Nedava taase oisai ulenede lo yerotze. Pella. Who ever heard such a thing? A type of blemish. That it's only invalid as a neder, but it's valid for a nedava. I didn't know this. You know, you can read this pasuk 100 times. I didn't pay attention to what it says. Now we learned in the beginning of the show, on Monday when we started learning the sugya, we learned about a neder. What is the difference between a neder and a nedava? A neder, you have responsibility. A nedava, you don't. A neder is when you say to gavren chefsa, harei olai. I accept upon myself the obligation to bring a car, an animal as a carbon. And then I designate a specific animal. And then the animal disappears. It dies. Something happens to it. What is the law? The law is I must bring a replacement. Because the obligation devolves upon me. Whereas a neder... I'm sorry, a nedava, after I designate the animal, if it gets lost or dies, I'm exempt. I have no responsibility. It's on the animal. As long as the animal is in existence, I have an obligation to bring it to the mikdash and offer it as a korban. But if the animal dies or gets lost, I have no obligation to bring a replacement. That's the chilik between a neder and a nedava. It is responsibility. Achrayas. The neder is on the gavra, it's upon myself, and the dove is upon the animal. Now, let's say the animal has a blemish. What kind of blemish? We think two very specific blemishes that we're going to discuss right now. And the pasuk tells you an incredible halacha, that this type of blemish is only invalid if the type of animal you bring is coming to fulfill a neder, where you have responsibility. But if the animal that you bring is only a nedava, we have no responsibility, it's okay. It's okay. It can have the blemish, it's okay. Isn't that a shocking thing? What difference does it make? Is the animal a good animal or is it not a good animal? Is it presentable to Hashem? Is it not presentable? What difference does it make what your obligation is? Yet the pasuk says an incredible chiddush. It says here, v'shor v'seh, with regard to a shor or a seh. Now, by the way, here we're using new terminology. New terminology, because we never use the word shor until now. Until now, we only use the word bokar. Bokar and a shor are the same thing. So why do we change words? Why are we confusing us? We used yesterday bokar. Bokar is cattle. Cattle means an egel or an egla. And when it becomes an adult, it's a para or a para. That's exactly the same thing as a shor. A shor is the same thing as bokar. A behemagasa. And it's the same. I'm just saying, why are they different words? I don't know why they're different words for the same animal. A seh is more complicated. A seh is a more complicated word. Let's use it over here in Rashi. Rash solua ever godol mechaveroi. One limb is longer than the other, and kolut parsoisa kilutois. Its hooves are kilutos. They're not split. Kolut means it's not split. One of the simon of a kosher animal is it has split hooves. So if you have an animal that's a shor but its hooves are not split, something is wrong. Something mutated. There's a genetic defect in the animal. Why didn't its hooves, its feet, basically the bottom of the feet, why did it not split? Why did it come out as one piece? That's a defect. But it's not such a major defect, and therefore it's only going to be disqualified if you're bringing a ned and not a nedava. Okay, back in the Rashi, Surua Evigal Mechaber, Kalud Parasais of Kaludais, Medavot Haseh Oisai, Le'ah. Alright, so what I said is not necessarily true, but I'm willing to bet you that there's machlekes rishonim, something like this. Typically you can have machlekes rishonim. Rashi right away felt was disturbed with the same exact thing that disturbed me. Okay, so right away we see what Rashi is saying. But again, I'm telling you for sure you're going to find a Rishon that's going to say exactly what I just said before. And that's exactly why Rashi is coming to reject that. This gets very confusing. Because we learned already about Neder and Nedava in the last 2 days. In the beginning of this section, we learned about the Neder and the Nedava. And Rashi clearly differentiated exactly what the difference is. Now, in this pasuk, we have the same exact two words. And yet Rashi says in this pasuk the words mean something completely different. When it says a nedava means bedek habayis. You're not going to bring this on the mizbeach. You're going to give it to the Beis HaMikdash as just property. The Beis HaMikdash needs, they need things. They need automobiles. They need computers. They need desks and chairs. Every institution needs a collection of different types of things. I went recently to Yeshiva University. I went there for a bar mitzvah. My cousins, I come there, and they have a whole fleet of cars. What does Yeshiva University need? A whole fleet of cars with their logo on it. Where I parked, we parked. They gave us parking where to park because we park in their garage, one of the garages. And in the garage, all of their vehicles are parked. What do they need? A whole fleet. They have a little truck, a big truck, this car, that car, with lights. Okay, they have a campus. They have a campus, and I guess they need to get around on the campus, so they have to have some cars. And then, they have all the paraphernalia. So same thing, the Beis HaMikdash needs a lot of stuff. They need oxen, they need animals for different purposes. Not as korbanos, but as objects to, for services. So you can donate an animal that has one of these blemishes where one limb is larger than the other, or the hooves are not split, as a nidava. And in this pasuk, the word nidava means bede kabayis. But ule neder, in this pasuk, that means you cannot give it as a korban. So using the
word... that has to be put on the mizbeach.
Right, right. So is what it was interesting is according to Rashi, Rashi is taking the words neder and nidava that were used only two psukim above, and he's translating those very same words differently. Whereas before he translated neder and nidava is both of them, both the word neder and nidava refer to animals that are offered on the mizbeach, kachshei and mizbeach. Now he's saying, no, it does not refer to kachshei and mizbeach. One word refers to bedek habayis, one refers to the mizbeach. So he's deviating. That's Rashi. Neder le mizbeach lo yeiratza, eizeh hegesh bol ratza, savi omer zeh hegesh bol mizbeach. Now, let's see what the Targum says about this. Pasuk of Gimel, v'sor, an axe, v'imar, a seh. We have to still define the seh. Seh is not an easy word to define. What exactly is a seh? A seh is not an eagle, that's for sure. A seh appears to be a baby sheep or a baby goat. It's less than 12 years old, either from the kivasim or the izim. Only that do we say it's kolot. So what is it over here in the Targum? V'sar v'imar yatir. V'chasir. What does yatir mean? I don't know. What does chasir mean? I don't know. Nidavta ta'beid yosei ulenidro lo yisrei. It's not fitting. Will that be rotten? Now let's see the perush over here on the side, and hopefully we'll say some big chidushim here. Okay, so here, first of all, he first defines what is in a yatir. Oidev. V'serach oidev. It says here, sarua. Okay, with Aguma Vesikhwe Diatir, Veserach Oidei, for the Shabbat says Sarua. So what's it? Veserach is Sarua? A Samach to a sin? A little bit of a Chiddush. The Chosav of Veserach Diatir, because of Raibi, the Sarua, Hulosh Yeser. Rod Soloimar, She Yaruchu Achas Arucha, oh. Yerechoy achas arucha mechaveret. I'm holding in the Gemara. I just read him who says who mum biyorech. All right. Let's see. What's the Shekolot who are hepoch shal surua, the gizras or a miklot, like a vanisha about chai chosa eva mishum shahu, mechunas besoichoy lechor unkles the loy ketalmud shalanu, shemish amu shekolot who sheraglov kilutos kishal chamor, mishal sus, rikas of Ashikan, uperisha oruch, sheparsosai kula achas, the ain't a saduka. Alright, so it does seem we have here machlaikis. As to what it means, what exactly are these blemishes? Rashi said, sarua means one limb is larger than the other. Rashi does not tell us which limb we are referring to. Now, what limb do we really have? Really, you have hands and feet. An animal has the front and the back. The front are called the hands, and the back are called the raglayim. So according to Rashi, it would seem to imply that even if the hands... if one hand is larger than the other hand, that's also called a sarua. That's what's mashma from Rashi. According to what he brings down in the Rishonim, that's not correct. In the Gemara, it's mashma. The mum of a sarua only applies to the legs. So Rashi, by saying his words, sarua eiver gadol mechaveroi, and does not limit the eiver to, does not limit the aver to the legs, indicates that Rashi holds that we're dealing with, doesn't make a difference. It can be the legs or it can be the arms. Any one of them is larger than the other, that's called a blemish. So Rashi, now what is the next one? The next one is a kolot. So what is this? According to Rashi, kolot is the hooves are not split. According to most other Rishonim, it does not mean that. It means one limb is smaller than the other. So I don't understand what that means exactly. Isn't that called sarua? If one limb is larger, automatically means that the other one is smaller. So why do you have to repeat one is smaller than the other? Maybe what it means to say over here is that there's two limbs. One limb is normal, and the other limb is extra large. Or one limb is normal, and the other limb is extra small. I guess there's some way to measure what's called normal. One of them is normal, and the other one is too large, or the other one is too small. That's called a kolut. The saru and the kolut, they go together hand in hand, according to most of the Rishonim, and that would appear that's what the Targum is trying to say. Because the Targum says the word...
The Arch Cross says that, like you said now, the last time, one limb is long.
Right, that's according to Rashi. So according to Rashi, when you say the word sarua, that automatically includes that there's something, they're not the same. Not being the same can go many ways, two ways. Either one is normal and the other one is too long, or one is normal and the other one is too short. So the word sarua includes both possibilities. So Rashi now has an extra word available, kolot. Kolot means the hooves are not split. Targum does not have a pasuk for hooves being not split. Because the Targum is saying that both words, saru and kolot, are both describing abnormalities in the length of the limbs. When one limb is too big, it's called sarua. And when one limb is normal, but the other one is too small, is less than normal, it's too small, that's called kolot. Okay, so therefore, according to Targum, he says these two words, yatir v'chasir. Yatir means one limb is too big, yachasir, one limb is too small. Okay, Nemela, we don't have a pasuk according to the Targum, till the halacha of the legs, the hooves not being split. Then he's totally silent on the next part of the pasuk, when it says, you can bring it as a neder, but not a nedava. So Targum doesn't really say anything. We don't know what the Targum holds. All we know what Rashi says. Rashi teaches you can bring it as a nedava. A nedava means you can bring it for the bedek abayis, but you can't bring it as a carbon. Wait a minute. We had those words just two psukim ago, and we teach those words there. They both cut the bedek abayis, and one is responsibly, one is not. I'm telling you, he's not commenting on this earlier, but I'm telling you, I'm willing to bet. If we search hard enough, we're going to find Rishonim that say that this type of blemish, you can bring on the Mizbeach if it's only a Nedava. But if it's a Neder, you may not bring on the Mizbeach. That's quite a chiddush to say that. I'm saying over here something which I have no makar for. I have to go find it. I have to work backwards and find you a source to say that. But the reason why I'm not so disturbed in saying that is because if Rashi has to go out of his way to make the statement, Rashi is coming to reject what I just said. And if Rashi is rejecting it, that means the possibility that someone else, it's not possible that someone else did say that. All right, that concludes this pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk, Umol v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus lo sakriv v'lashem v'yatzchem lo sa'asu. So this is an important pasuk. This is a very important pasuk, you should know. It talks about testicles. And it talks about some very, a lot of details. In fact, someone recently published a sefer about this in people, because it's a halacha, something called the krus shofchan. This is about an animal. This is discussing an animal. But by human beings, if Rachmana Litzlan, a person, is called a krus shofcha, he's not allowed to get married. He's not allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. Anyone, I think. What is a krus shofcha? What in the world is this? It's extremely complicated. There are two testicles by a male. One is larger than the other. And there's a major, major discussion in the Rishonim and Acharonim exactly what exactly are the laws of Kushof. It's very, very gory. It's a sugya that is not for the faint of heart. Someone recently published a sefer. I couldn't believe this. A whole comprehensive sefer on this sugya. It's nogea. Why is it again? Because people, Rachmana Lissan, have surgery today. Rachmana Lissan, someone is not well, and they have surgery, and they intervene in that part of the body. What are the halachas? What other people have to know the halachas? How does all this work? There are many opinions. It's extremely complicated. Someone put out a sefer with diagrams, mamish diagrams, and I was nauseated. And then
I... Rabbi, it says just not do it in your land, in Israel.
But you can't bring it...
Outside and you can do it.
Oh, could be. Why would a person want to do this? Because they don't want the animals to impregnate other animals. Right? Yeah. Dogs. All dogs. What is it called? They call it... There's a term
for it. Neuter.
They neuter, right? They neuter all... You see dogs. They neuter the dogs. They should not make other dogs get into trouble. So they do this.
It seems to be in Eretz Israel, you
now
should
I do
be
it.
Allowed.
I think in Chutzot, you're also not allowed to do it. Today, when people buy a dog, they're now, I think
it's
the halacha is...
It's only for the harem. It's only by male dogs, not by female.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, females? There is nothing to do by a female.
You can do it. They do it more by female dogs.
It's
if
easier.
A female dog is neutered,
yeah,
then you don't need the male dogs neutered.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying. You don't want a female. Number one, it makes the dog more calm.
Okay.
And number two, you don't want to have suddenly a bunch of little baby dogs to get rid of.
Right. Okay, correct, exactly. But so they do, right. Okay,
so
but
my
you,
male dog, there's no problem.
What do you mean there's no problem?
A male dog is no problem, but you're not allowed to be the sires of a male animal.
Right, but a female animal doesn't say anything about. All
right,
these are very... These are halachas, and also remember that book about Tzvi Reisman. Remember
maybe
once?
Maybe give a shear at the afternoon.
No.
Part of the morning kailu.
I'm not giving a shear on this. I'm not giving a shear. All I can tell you is that I went to the store...
Did
and
you
I,
bring the pictures with you?
So when I saw, I was nauseated. When I came back the next time to the store, I noticed... That sefer was sealed. What's it called? They know they how they wrap the svarim. Like for Pesach. They didn't want people in the store opening up the cover and looking at the pictures in the store. So that sefer was saran wrap.
Everybody would come to look at the pictures.
It was unprofessional. Like, you know, they do the haggadahs, they put it in plastic. That, it was very funny because, you know, on these type of svarim, they never, ever, ever, like, you know, English art school books, they go and they wrap up in plastic. But they never do that to, like, a regular sefer. And this sefer was wrapped in plastic to prevent people from opening up
the
sefer.
There was one sefer that you could only get by asking the guy from behind the counter. Some svarim they don't even put on the shelf.
Oh, okay, that's right, okay.
Travis,
I don't know if you remember last year we learned from Tzvi Reisman. Tzvi Reisman published a thick volume about...
Right, a very good book. Very
phenomenal.
Good
book. So in that book, it's probably the only thing out there in the world, as far as I know, that in English, in clear, crystal clear English, describing the laws of Krushofra, Mamish, this whole topic.
I didn't read that chapter. He has a chapter on it?
He has a few chapters on it. A few chapters on it, and he goes.
There's a new thing today. There's a new thing with IVF that you can make IVF of a person's skin cells.
Exactly.
You can make stem cells from.
So he has all that stuff in his safer.
No problem.
He has all that stuff in his safer. He discusses all of these things. So Baruch Hashem, we're out of time, so we can't do it.
Can you post the pictures online?
No way. I'm not going to go to jail. Okay. You know, I was at a bris and I asked the guy, I can't believe this. The guy, I just can't get, I asked the photographer, I know the photographer. I davened with him on Shabbos. A nice young guy. He's probably 25 years old. He's a professional photographer. He does a lot of different events. And he was at a bris and he was taking pictures. He wasn't taking them professionally. He was just there. So he was taking the pictures because he was friends. Like I was friends with the same guy. And I asked him, could you please send me some pictures? Now, I meant to ask him, Send me some pictures, you know, of the whatever people in the ceremony, people standing around there, the parent, you know, whatever, the basic pictures. He really thought.
What did he send you, before and after?
He really thought that I meant send me pictures of the actual procedure. That's what he thought I meant, and he got all worked up, and he said to me, you know, you can go to jail for this. This is child pornography. You can do. And he started like, mamish, like, give me the business. I said to him, I'm telling you honestly, that's not what I meant to ask you. When I asked, can you send me some pictures? I didn't even have Amina that I want to see pictures of the sir. I want to stop you. I want to go send it to someone that I know.
No. You should have told him you're a shotgun. You need the pictures for when he becomes old enough.
He gave me a look. He gave me a look and gave me a speech. Like, what are you talking about? You know, it's not what I meant to ask you. What do you think is going on over here? You gotta be careful. You never know what people think when you say something. All right, Rabbi Sai, we're gonna stop here. Thank you for coming.
Maybe he just set you up. He knows exactly.
No,
what
I don't think so. I thought that. In the beginning, there's a nice guy. In the beginning, I don't know what he just suddenly got into him. I don't know. Who would be so stupid to ask a guy? You thought I meant to ask you I'm learning Hilchos Bris Milah and I want to know the details. Of course I wouldn't ask you for pictures. Out of your mind? Live and learn.
Anyway, you heard Gonzalo was taken to the hospital?
I heard he was very sick. I did hear that. How is he now?
They took him by helicopter to Pennsylvania.
That was a few weeks ago. That was a few days ago. That's old news. That's all that it took him already. I heard that, I know, but how is he doing now?
Hello?
He's been very, very sick for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
How old is he?
I don't know. I know Rav Shmuel Kamenevsky is 98.
How is he? He had a stroke 2 days ago.
Yeah, okay. He just fell.
He was in great shape.
I heard Rav Olson also is not around. They can't find him. Really.
What?
He's staying home or whatever. Moshe Wolf.
Yeah, he's a Zakin Mufluk. How old is he? He's also like 100 years old.
How old is he?
10 years ago.
He's in his 80s.
No, he's got to be more than that. He's got to be more than that. 10 years ago, he was already... out of sight. He was already very, very, very weak, very schwach. Already 10 years ago. His wife died.
How old was he when he became a shkinach and tervidas?
Probably 25 years old. Probably, mom, 25. 25 years old. Probably 25 years old.
So then it's 15 or 16. So he's 75, according to that. Okay?
It's too young. That's too young. Then he had to be older.
Oh, but he was.
It's very pretty 80. Sad then. It's very sad that he's only 80 years old and he's so schwach. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Rav Aaron Schacht is 95 years old. He's 95 years old. He's never seen anymore. Never. And they based in Chaim Bulin, they basically they don't even